Bibles with me this morning, go to the book of James, chapter 1, James chapter 1, and when you get there, if you don't care to, and if you're able, if you're not able, don't worry about it, but if you're able, stand with me if you would, and I'll read a verse and have you to be seated. James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. James chapter 1, look at one verse with me, please. Look at verse number 17. Verse number 17. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom there is no variation, neither shadows of turning. Lord, we sure thank you for your goodness, your mercy, grace. We don't deserve any of it, but you give it to us anyways. Plus so much more in life. The Bible says every good gift has come from above, and Lord, we know where it comes from today. But if there is one such person here today that doesn't know the gift of salvation and never received it, we pray today for that person to get saved, not to leave here lost. Lord, bless this time we've set aside for the preaching. We've enjoyed the music. Lord, it's been good. We've enjoyed the fellowship. Lord, it's been good. Now, Lord, would you speak to us through me, and Lord, I pray I not hinder what needs to be said. Lord, I pray for Rusty downstairs right now, Michelle, and the workers down there that's presenting the Christmas story to the young folks. And Lord, as same up here, I pray if there's a young folk that can comprehend it and can understand it, and they've never been saved, I pray, Lord, they too will get saved this day. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Bless this time now for preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject. Let's go Christmas shopping. You ready? Let's go Christmas shopping. Have you had enough Christmas shopping? Amen. By the way, my one trip to Walmart this past week was enough. I mean, that was plenty enough. But let's go Christmas shopping today. Let's talk about gifts and let's talk about the Lord and His goodness. Hear about the little boy. His parent told him, his mom told him, says, son, you need to sit down and write to God what you want for Christmas and tell the Lord, ask the Lord if you can have it. And this little boy sat down and he started writing out to God, and he said, dear Lord, my name's Johnny and I've been a good little boy for 6 months. For the last 6 months, could you give me a bicycle? And he looked at it and he thought about it and he raced out that word six and he put, dear Lord, my name's Johnny and I've been a good little boy for 2 months. And Lord, would you give me a bicycle? And he got to thinking about that, and finally he just wrote it and raced that out, and then he raced the word month out, and he put in there, dear Lord, I've been a good little boy for the last week. And Lord, would you give me a bicycle? And he thought about that, and then he wadded it up, and he throwed it in the trash, and he went over to a nativity scene. And there in that nativity scene, he took the little baby Jesus, and he went back and laid it on his little desk. Then he began his letter again. He says, dear God, I've got your son. Did you hear about the little boy who was staying at his grandmother's and that night when his grandmother told him to go to bed, him and his brother said, y'all go to bed now and be quiet and be good, say your prayers. Be sure you say your prayers. And it was about Christmas time, so the two little boys went into their room and one of them walked over by the wall next to where his grandmother and grandpa sleeps, and he stood by the wall and he says, dear God, would you please send me that bicycle I want? His brother says, what are you doing? God's not deaf. He says, I know it, but grandma is. Christmas time. What a special time of year. I love Christmas. In the book of Matthew, we've just read, by the way, about good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadows of turning. So we've just read about that. Did you know in Matthew, and the Christmas story in Matthew, it tells about three wise men. You can read that. The three wise men, says they brought gifts. And the gifts was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But in that account there in Matthew about the three wise men, do you know there's one thing that's missing there? There's no mention anywhere in that story where those wise men wrapped those gifts. They didn't wrap them, they just brought them. And so there was no mention of wrapping paper. Now, if my wife would have been there, I had to include her in that story. If she would have been in that story, there would have been wrapping paper. She would have made sure those gifts was wrapped. She would have wrapped them, and maybe even the wise men have said they're good like they are. She wouldn't have had it. She said, no, they got to be wrapped up. Come on, folks, lighten up with me. This is supposed to be funny this morning. You don't laugh a little bit, it's going to be boring to you. I don't know about you, men, but I don't like wrapping gifts. That's one part of Christmas I don't like. If you get a gift from Preacher, it's probably going to be in the best wrapping gift paper I can find, a Walmart sack. My wife is funny this time of year. When I do attempt to try to wrap something, she'll come in there and she'll say, have you seen my tape? And I say, yeah, I used it. All three rolls? Well, it took it, that watch. It's awfully hard to wrap a watch. I take a whole roll of wrapping paper to get a little watch. She can take a little 3x5 and she could probably wrap up an airplane with it. I don't know. Do you notice that in Matthew when it talks about the wise men, I think we can look to that scripture and we can find out two truths about that. And when it comes to wrapping gifts. Number one, they were wise. That's what the Bible says. They were wise. And the second thing, they were men. Men don't wrap gifts very well, do they? And if you're here this morning, you say, well, preacher, I'm a man and I can wrap them as good as my wife. You know, you had way too much time in your life. Way too much idle time. Maybe mama dropped you on your head when you was little and you didn't realize. But wrapping paper and wrapping gifts. Men do not understand why spend so much money on a gift and spend more money to wrap that gift. And so someone else can just tear it up. By the way, you ever give a baby a gift? I love to see mamas and daddies give the little babies gifts and watch them tear the wrapping paper. They'll tear the wrapping paper up and there'll be a $50 gift in it and they'll look at that $50 gift and then they'll grab the paper and start playing with it. Is that true? That's true, isn't it? Wrapping paper. Men don't understand sometimes. No one, as I said before, men ain't very well at wrapping gifts. I'm not. Now, men, let me give you some tips for wrapping gifts. Here's some tips for it. Buy gifts that are already wrapped. Ain't that the best way? Buy them when they're already wrapped. You say, preacher, what's this got to do with the Bible? We're getting to it. Hold on. We're just having a little fun while we're getting there. And so, there's an editor, I read this, editor of a Women's Day magazine, recently ran an article on how to make your own design on your wrapping paper. And she went to say, and take an apple, slice it in half, horizontally, and dip it in a mixture of food coloring and liquid starch. And by the time I got the liquid starch, I thought, this is crazy. People go to this extent to wrap a gift to make their own designs? But yet, that's my wife right there. I think, are you crazy? Now, if it has to be wrapped, I encourage you, men, just go to Walmart's and get a bag. It works good. Remember, the most important thing is not what you give or even wrap it. The important thing is to keep the receipt so you can carry it back. Man, by the way, I'll tell a story. You ever got a gift? Now, let's be honest this morning, because I need to preach here in a little bit, but I need some sinners to preach to. You ever got a gift and you opened it before the big day? Raise your hand. Now, the rest of you liars, you raise yours. We all probably done that, hadn't we? By the way, you wouldn't have had to do that, because I don't wrap gifts. Did I tell you I don't wrap gifts? I'm not good at it. Now, Man doesn't know much about wrapping, but man has learned a whole lot about giving, and we've learned it from God because He's the great giver. And so, and God's in the giving business, and He's still giving today. And our text said today that every good gift is from above. And you're here this morning and you say, boy, I got just what I wanted. You know what? God knows what we want sometimes too, doesn't He? And He gives us to it. You know what amazes me about gifts is, and I'm sure you could say the same. Sometimes I get a lot of gifts I don't even ask for, but because of God's goodness, I get it anyways. I told someone last night, I said, I believe I'm the most blessed person on planet Earth when it comes to getting gifts. And I really honestly believe that. And I don't ask for them, and God just sometimes gives them to me. And you know, I'm sure you could say the same testimony. Every good gift is from above, the Bible says. Listen to this. God gave Adam and Eve skin to cover their nakedness. God gave Noah a plan to build a boat. God gave Sarah a precious child when she was at old age. God gave the Israelites lands flowing with milk and honey. He gave the prophets Scripture. He gave us the Messiah. He gave us Jesus. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think today as we talk about gifts in just a minute, we're going to talk about some of the gifts that God gave and how we too can give those kind of gifts. And so mankind can learn a lot about giving from God because He's the great giver. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above cometh down from the Father of life. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Boy, I tell you, God is so good to us. Take your Bibles with me and go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter number 4. Jesus told the woman at the well here in John chapter 4. Verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. God gave Jesus as a gift to you and I. You know, a gift is something you can do a lot with. You can admire it. You can put it away for another day. You can do a lot of things with it. You can receive it. But do you actually open it? You know, that's what God gives us, the gift of Jesus. And today, I pray there's too much of the world. We admire it. We thank God for it. We put it sometimes on a shelf. But what are we doing with that gift? Jesus was a gift from God to us. Take your Bibles and go with me now to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. By the way, I'm not against gifts. The gifts mentioned in the Bible, the word gift or gifts is found over 100 times in the Bible. You'll find the word gift or you'll find the words gifts. So God wasn't against gifts either. He gives us a lot of gifts. And I love Christmas. And I tell you, Christmas ought to be a time of year when we thank God for the greatest gift of all, that's His Son Jesus. But we ought to also thank God for everything we have. I mean, everything we have is all good gifts. Or say, well, so-and-so got me something. Well, they did it because of the goodness of God allowing them to do it. And so here we read in about the gifts. Romans chapter 6. I'm sorry, 8. We'll get to 6 after a while. Romans chapter 8. And verse number 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, the Bible says if God was willing to give Jesus his own son, is there anything he would hold back? You know, I picture sometimes I have a son. A lot of you have sons. Sometimes I think about my son. Sometimes I think about if God came to me today and says, I want you to give up your son. Folks, if I'm honest, now I'm going to be honest with you, I'd have a hard time doing that. And if God came to me and he says, Danny, I want you to not only give up your son, but I want you to give up the son for the world that's rejected him. For all the ones that's rejected him, I want you to give them up for those. That would be real hard to do. But that's what God did. He gave up Jesus for a world that rejected him. And the Bible teaches here in Romans, if God's willing to lay that down and give his son up, he'd give any, there's nothing he holds back. Can I tell you something today? God's for you and me. He wants the best for us. That's why he gave the best. Boy, Christmas time can be, it can be a depressing time, a discouraging time. It really can. But it shouldn't be for Christians, especially if we don't forget the gift that was given for us, that great gift. And take your Bibles now and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, very, very, very well-known verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift from God. It's a gift. That's why these folks, it says, I'm working towards getting saved. I'm working my way to heaven. Someone told us just the other day, was out door knocking and had a man, he was kind, he was polite, and we were witnessing to him, and we were telling him the scripture, and he kept saying, I'm working on it. And finally I asked him, I said, you don't have to work on it, it's already done. You just have to receive it as a gift because God gives it to you. It's done, been done. You don't work on what's already been done. God took care of all of it when it comes to salvation. The Bible says here in Ephesians, it's a gift of God. It's a gift from God. You're here this morning, you may be like that man that told us the other day, well, preacher, I'm working on it. I'm going to try to be a better person. I'm going to try to turn over a new leaf. This year I'm going to be a better person. Can I tell you something? If you accomplish that, and I hope you do, and that's your goal, it's not going to get you to heaven. You see, it's because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Them verses are found in Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. We don't have to work on that gift. All we have to do is receive it. Just receive it. God has a gift for you this morning, and if you've never received that gift, I encourage you. This morning there's help. There's help for all of us. So let's go Christmas shopping. Let me give you some things about gifts. God teaches us to give to give right. Preacher, what in the world can I give them? Let me tell you what you ought to give them and what God's given to us. The first thing I see, the Bible says every good gift is from God. The first thing I see here is this. Gifts, when it comes to shopping, and gifts. Make it a personal gift because God made it personal. God made that gift for you. I mean, I thank God that He made it for everybody else and it's available, but I thank God that He made that gift personal to me and He made it personal to you. Best gift you can give someone is give them a personal gift. Make it personal like God did. It doesn't have to be the most expensive or the best. But make sure that it's from the heart. As there's no saying, it's the thought that counts. And there's a lot of truth in that. But make sure it's personal. We used to, back and don't do as much of it now because I'm not interactive as much as I was in another church I pastored. But there was another church I pastored. I used to interact with the kids a lot more than I do here at First Baptist. And some of the greatest gifts I could ever get that it always touched me more than any of them was when those little kids would sit down and write me letters. And that's a preacher. We thank you for that. Always meant more to me, and you know, I always had me a. And they do it here too. I'm not saying they don't do it here, but I'm just saying personal. It always meant more to me than anything else, because it came from their hearts, their little hearts. And you know, you might be here today, and you say, preacher, I don't have much to give anybody. You got a lot to give somebody. You got a lot. You got a lot more than the world teaches. Buy, spend. But you know, God gave it personally. And so we should too. It makes sense to do that. Two young boys discussing Christmas. All the toys they hope to receive. One kid said to the other one, says, money can't buy happiness. And the other one said, no, but we can trade money for toys. You know, that's how the world looks at things today. Money buys everything, but it doesn't. It doesn't. That's why giving personal things, make it personal. You ever got something you didn't want? You ever gave something you felt like they didn't want? Wasn't personal. You know it's obligation just to get something. About like the guy got the fruitcake. Said it was so hard you couldn't eat it. Told his other friend, said, but boy, I found good use for it. He said, what did you do? And he said, I used it for a doorstop. We ought to put thought into what we give, make it personal. God did. The Bible said he's the good gift giver. Number one, I said make it personal. Number two, make it practical. Make the gift practical. That means we're not shopping for ourselves. Man, if I go into Walmart and you're over there in the fishing department or the hunting department, you're telling me you're buying your wife something for Christmas, I'm going to doubt that. And in most cases, if that's true and you really are over there and you're buying your wife, in most cases, I know there's going to be some lady here who says, I like fishing and I like to hunt. But in most cases, that's not what most women likes. And ladies, if I come into Walmart and you're over there in the fabric department and you're saying, I want to get my husband something for Christmas, I'm going to doubt that. Make it practical. Get them something practical. Ain't you glad God makes His gifts practical? Personal, He makes them practical. I said it don't have to be the most expensive or the best, but make it practical. Number next, make it pleasing to them. A pleasing gift. I wouldn't give my wife a 270 rifle for Christmas. I just wouldn't. I'm not a gun man, but I wouldn't give her a gun for Christmas. For the first reason, I'd be afraid she'd shoot me with it. That'd be the first reason. But the second reason, it would be something that would sit in the corner and collect dust. She wouldn't use it. But I know men that's bought their wives guns. She really needed that. And every time you see it in his hand. But she really needed it more than she thought she did. Make it practical. There's gifts that we just use common sense sometimes. God made His gifts practical. Everything He gives, we can use. And make it pleasing. The real gift need any of us really needs is salvation. That's the greatest gift that you and I can receive this Christmas, is the gift of salvation. By the way, can I say something? It is truly the only gift that keeps on giving. It's the only gift that keeps on giving. I said number one, make it personal, make it practical, make it pleasing, and number next, make it permanent, a permanent gift. In other words, don't give them something, and by the way, I'm guilty of this. I guarantee all of us will probably do this year. We'll give somebody, maybe our children, we'll give them something And probably 2 or 3 weeks later, it'll be junk. Worthless. No good for anybody anymore. Because it wasn't permanent. It wasn't something that lasts. Ain't you glad that when God gives us gifts, they last? They just continue on? You ever got a gift? How many in here you've got a gift before and 2 weeks later it was already tore up? My mother bought me and my brother some BB guns 1 year. First time we ever... She bought them about a month before Christmas. I guess she had saved up her money. My dad had already, he had died off the scene. Mother bought us some BB guns. I was 16 years old. I never had a BB gun my whole life. Boy, I tell you what, we found those rascals. She had them hid, but she didn't have them hid good enough. She had them put in some pretty boxes. Well, that brother of mine, we cut the end out of the box. We started going hunting with that thing about a month before Christmas. We'd pull those things out. We went hunting every day. We snuck them out. Boy, we were professional hunters. My brother, he broke the stock off his, and we glued it back. You'll be surprised what Elmer glue can do. We glued that thing back. Handle fell off mine, a bolt fell out of it. I put another bolt in it, it was opposite from what was in it. I mean, we tore those things all to pieces. We done figured out Christmas morning's going to be here, and we got to look exciting. I'm 16-year-old, Rod. And he's 17. That's worse. My brother's 17. But Christmas morning, sure enough, we opened up those gifts. Oh, Mother, thank you. We wanted a BB gun. Thank you. And when my brother went to pick his up, the stock fell off. Mother says, he ain't supposed to do that. And I'm thinking, you know what I know. And she looked at mine, and these things are scratched up, messed up. And Mother says, as all good mothers do, I kept the receipt. I carry them back. Say, preacher, I wouldn't have let her carry them back. I would have told her, well, that I ain't you and I didn't. I got another new BB gun out of it. I didn't appreciate the second BB gun because I knew the first one was too easy to tear up. But we all get gifts sometimes, don't we? And they don't, a week or two later, what, they're tore all to pieces. They're useless. And I thank the Lord that His gifts, and He gives us an example, is a permanent, lasting gifts, not cheaply made, that breaks the first day. I like this story. A man bought his wife a big diamond ring. Big diamond cluster. Just gave it to his wife, was going to give it to her for Christmas. And he called one of his buddies over and he said, what do you think about me giving my wife this? And he showed that ring and he says, wow, that thing's pretty. He said, but I thought your wife wanted that Toyota 4Runner. And he said, she did, but I couldn't find a fake one of them. hint, men. Should be a gift that keeps an interest also. I mean, we can give gifts, personal gifts, and make them practical, and we make them pleasing, make them permanent, make it something that they can look back several Christmases from now and say, wow, that was special, and still is. I love to go in folks' houses, and they'll show me what someone got them. And I'll think, wow, that's going to last a long time. I love to get these Christmas cards with families on them. You know why? Because 20 years from now, I can pull it back out and still look at them. They keep on lasting. Number 5, and I'm done. When coming to buying gifts, and as we shop today, let's make it personal. Make it practical. Make it pleasing. Make it permanent. Number 5, let it come with a price. And hold on, stay with me now. I'm not talking about going out and spending everything you've got. There'll be people this Christmas that'll spend, and they'll overspend, and they'll overspend, and in January they'll have payback coming. Do you know January is the number one month of the season for suicides? Do you know they tribute that back to people overspending? Boy, the kids are having a good time. I'm glad I'm not down there. What I mean by Let it be from your heart. Don't give some cheap something that's it didn't cost anything. It was just, make it personal. Make it practical. Make it pleasing. Make it permanent. And make it purchase. Purchase it. If it takes putting in a little labor to get it, doesn't have to be a lot of money, but make it a purchase gift. John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. John chapter number 10, 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That gift of salvation that God gives us is eternal. Jesus purchases it by paying the price on the cross. God purchased it by giving His own Son. It's the greatest gift, and it keeps on giving for eternity. Take your Bibles and look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 15, Romans chapter 5, verse 15, says this, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more through the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many." The best gift you and I can give is to give it from the heart. Give it from the heart. Little girl was fixing up a picture and she was painting, and it was a picture of beautiful flowers. She said, gave it to the preacher. The preacher looked at it and he said, "Oh, this is the prettiest gift I've ever received." He says, "Boy, if you give me something this great, what did you give Jesus?" And the little girl says, "Oh, I gave Jesus' gift to Him a long time ago." And the preacher said, "What did you give Him?" And she said, "Myself." You know, God's in the giving business, and we heard this morning some things that we can give, or things that He gave. But this morning, in closing, the greatest thing you can give God is yourself. You may be here this morning, you may say, "Well, preacher, I've already gave myself. I've been saved for quite a few years. Why don't you give me your life?" I'm not talking about God calling you to a mission field. He may do that. There may be somebody here this year be called to the mission field next year. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about acknowledging Him. The Bible says, "In all thy ways, if you acknowledge Him, He'll direct thy path." This year, let us give from the heart. Why don't we give God us? You're here this morning, you've never been saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you. Do it this year. Do it this year. Don't put it off. The old devil's biggest lie on salvation is, "Oh, you can always get saved. There's always next year." And there's one problem with that. The more we reject it and the more we say no to it, the harder our hearts gets. I read a statistic the other day, and it was like, people under a certain age, I think under 20-year-old, like 80% of people that get saved was like under 20 years old. And from that age forward, it dropped down. And it got down into single digits by the time people was 40 years old. Not saying God couldn't save someone 40 years old, but it's saying that a lot of people let their old heart get hardened. You hear this morning, you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's as easy as just receiving a gift. How hard is it to get a gift? You just receive it. You hear this morning, Jesus Christ made that gift available. He died on the cross. God gives you that gift in the form of Jesus, and all you have to do is receive it. By saying, "I trust you, Lord. I believe in you. I put my trust and faith in you. I ask you, dear Lord, to forgive my sins and give me that home in heaven when I die." According to the Scripture, that's what one must do. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You hear this morning, you're already saved, and you say, "Preacher, there's been a time I've received that gift. I've received it." You know, God has so many more gifts than it goes along with salvation. He has a thing He calls His will. God's will for your life. You hear this morning, you say, "Preacher, I know I've received the gift of salvation, but if I'm not for sure that I'm in the will of God today, I'm not for sure." By the way, that's nothing to be ashamed of. There's a lot of folks today that's saved, but they're not in the will of God. Maybe that's you this morning. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not quite for sure I'm in the will of God. What do I need to do, preacher? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Just ask God to help you with that. Help show you His will for your life and help you to do it. You're here today and you say, preacher, I know someone today that needs salvation. They need to be saved. What a better time of year for a person to get saved than Christmas. You know someone this year, they're not saved. Would you pray for them? Would you do that? Would you at least say, preacher, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be praying that God will save their soul. You know, God may save them just on behalf of your prayer. Doesn't He promise He'll answer our prayers? If we pray, doesn't He say He'll answer our prayers? And maybe you know someone today, you just need to pray for them. Just say, Lord, dear God, save my friends. Save my spouse. Save my cousin. Lord, would you save the guy I work with at work? Lord, this person needs salvation. By the way, would that be a lie? Would there be a better gift you could give someone than to pray for them? Every head bowed this morning, every eyes closed.